We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Learfield, it's time for the official Wildcat podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with more than 45 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Weekly Podcast. I'm Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Cats, alongside longtime color analyst Stan Weber. Our program, as always, brought to you by BriggsAuto.com, by the K-State Superstore, and by Kansas Land Tire. Well, the main topic today is Kansas State men's basketball. The Wildcats coming off of a Saturday-Monday turn where they split a couple of ball games with Georgia on Saturday, winning 56-51, and then falling on Monday night on Big Monday to Kansas. The Jayhawks, the Big 12 conference leader, 70-56 was that final. And now K-State will hit the road. Back-to-back games Saturday in Morgantown, West Virginia, against Bob Huggins' crew. We'll have coverage starting at 2. And then next week, Wednesday, K-State will play in Austin against the Texas Longhorns. Stan, we go back to the Saturday-Monday games here and just some general thoughts here. We talked about this prior to the Kansas game Monday night, but that was such an important victory for Kansas State against Georgia. You're right there with two teams together in the RPI at 54 and 55. It's a home game. You can probably get away with losing at home to a top 10 team like Kansas, but they had to get Georgia, and fortunately they were able to do that.
I think that's well said, Wyatt. You don't ever want to discount the fact that you missed an opportunity to beat the Jayhawks, because every year when you come to Manhattan, you think, hey, this might be the chance, and the crowd was ready, and the place was warm. People had been in there so long and so fired up. Great job by the students and fans creating a nice atmosphere. But the fact is that the Georgia game or the Kansas game, you had to win one of the two games when you went into the weekend. And while you'd love to beat a top 10 team and beat your rival in Kansas, the likelihood is that when you play a top 10 team, you're the underdog. You're probably not going to get a victory. So you better take care of business on the other game. And it was first. You know, we didn't know what the result for KU was going to be. It wasn't as if you could say, okay, doesn't matter what happens against Georgia, let's move on and beat KU. So with the pressure on, with what we saw of the SEC Big 12 Challenge, where the SEC ended up winning 6 of the 10 games, and their first-place team, Auburn, who's only had 2 losses all year, was not included with the group of teams that played against the Big 12. So an impressive showing by the SEC, who's knocking on the door with a record number of teams from their conference looking to be NCAA tournament teams, including Georgia. So the Big 12 needed to dig their heels in and say, no, we are playing high-level basketball, and we have NCAA tournament teams. And you got the head-to-head issues, I think, that are really going to be important. When we get down to the end, Wyatt, I just think it's highly likely that the tournament committee is going to be sitting there looking at a team like Georgia and K-State and trying to slot them in, or decide if they're going to be in the NCAA tournament, and a head-to-head victory is a critical way to break that tie. Plus, K-State was at home. You needed to get the win. So it's a good win. It wasn't easy. You never know how much Georgia took out of K-State. The Wildcats had a quick turnaround, and it was a very physical game. I know a lot of football teams say, you may beat us, but we are going to affect you and beat you up. And in a sense, Georgia may have done that a little bit to K-State. They didn't seem to have the normal spark when they played against KU, but they found a way to win. K-State found a way to win against Georgia, and that was very critical. So I'm glad you pointed that out, because right now, you're rolling through a week where the last game you played is the one you think about, and you got your friends at work you run into who are KU fans, and you're going, oh, this has not been a lot of fun since Monday night. But the fact is, if you go back to last Saturday, a critical win for K-State.
And I guess just a comment, too, on the Kansas game. So many times in the last few weeks, we have talked about great starts for Kansas State. That was not the case in the Sunflower Showdown. You got to give Kansas some credit for that, too. They played really well out of the gate, jumped up 11-2, and really were never headed. K-State couldn't. They were fighting uphill all night.
They were. K-State came back to within five two different times, and some of those are some, you know, the second half is an amazing run for K-State to get back within five. You know, you go, look, we've done all this work, and now we're still 5 points behind. That becomes pretty tough to overcome, and KU just knows how to play at a high level. It seems like their guys are improving at the right time. The supporting cast, I'll call them. You know, a guy like Malik Newman gets his first double-double of his career, making plays, and Savi was just outrageously good. I mean, from start to finish, there was hardly a flaw in his game, from driving the ball to the basket, playing defense, and then lethal three-point shooting, not only making shots and at a high percentage and a big number of them, Wyatt, but when it counted. You know, when you needed to make a shot to separate and show that you're going to win this game, Mekhi Luke was there doing it over and over again. So a big-time game by KU. They made it hard for K-State to keep pace with them with the early shooting. What, 6 of 7 three-point shooting in the first half, 3 right away, hardly into 5 minutes into the game, and you're looking up, and they are ripping the net from all over the place. They set the tone early. They played like they're a team that wins the Big 12 championship. They played like a team that was determined against a Wildcat team that they knew would be tough to beat. They remember playing them in Lawrence, and you got to hand it to Bill Self and the Jayhawks. They stepped their game up. They were a much better team, a more full roster of excellence in the second game against K-State than they were even in Allen Fieldhouse earlier this year.
When you look at the standings, and we are now halfway through, Kansas is the conference leader at 7-2. I'm sure that doesn't really surprise anyone. I guess I would ask you here, with looking at the rest of their schedule, with their road games at Baylor, at Iowa State, at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma State, are we just going to crown them the champions, or would you prefer to play this one out? What do you think?
Oh, I crown them. Yeah. The thing is that an important distinction is made. Ties count. You know, it doesn't matter. Texas Tech could make a run at them, sweep them, you know, because Texas Tech's the one team that went into Allen Fieldhouse and won. If they were to win at home and just play great basketball down the stretch and tie Kansas, Kansas does not say, oh, that's second place because we got swept by Texas Tech. They count that as a championship in their run. So I just don't see any way with the lead they have, the team they have, that they're going to do any worse than tie. And they've been to the hard places already. I mean, they've been to K-State and West Virginia, Oklahoma. TCU's not even an easy place to go. Yeah, they've got to go to Lubbock. But other than that, they're going to be highly favored, and they rarely drop games at home in Allen Fieldhouse. This team knows how to win close games, and they're playing better. If you watched them on Monday, I think they're rounding into a form that's better than the other teams. And the other teams in the conference that are vying for the championship just can't be as clean. You know, the resume will not be as consistent. They're going to lose a game here or there that Kansas just doesn't lose. And they're already behind, and we're halfway through. Yeah, I think Kansas will have their 14th straight, which is pretty amazing to pass John Wooden. I grew up Wyatt. Heck, John Wooden started winning those 13 straight before I was old enough really to know what was going on. But I saw him win year after year after year the national championship level teams, and yet they only won 13 straight. So for Kansas to get to the all-time record this year is pretty incredible. And I just see almost no way that they're not going to be the champion. I crown them, but I wasn't too tempted to say they weren't going to win the whole time. Right as we started the conference, I said KU's going to win this thing. I thought West Virginia might be the team that could cause them a little havoc, But West Virginia lost a game at home to Kansas. They still got to go to Lawrence, and now they've dropped a few games here or there. So I think Kansas is going to work their way through. But after you get past Kansas, man, from 2 to 6 or 7 is incredibly tight.
Very.
And you just will call 8, 9, and 10 in, because they're not that bad, as shown by Iowa State's good play this week, midweek-type game, playing as well as they did against West Virginia. We've said it all year long. There's no bad teams in Big 12 basketball this year.
Well, you mentioned West Virginia, and we go back about a month. K-State hosted the Mountaineers here on New Year's Day, 2018. Here we are a month and a couple of days out. And now this team, since then, has basically lost, what, 4 of 5, or I guess 5 of 6 now. That's crazy to think that that's happening to them. How do you see this matchup this weekend in Morgantown? I think K-State's got a shot. Will it be hard? Yeah, but I think they've got a chance.
Yeah, you know, it depends on which way we look at this thing, because in one sense, you say that West Virginia is a very good basketball team and they've only lost 2 home games. The names of those teams they lost to at home are KU and Kentucky. So to just start going, oh, yeah, they're going to roll in here and take care of, you know, a yeah. K-State team can roll in and take care of this and beat a West Virginia team. That's a little bit of a reach, I think, to start with. But I do think K-State matched up pretty well with them when they played in Manhattan. Now, sure, that was a home game, but K-State wasn't playing nearly as well as they are right now, Wyatt. They're still just working their way through, and you know, they're picked for 8th place in the conference, and we didn't know how good K-State would play. But the thing that West Virginia had occur in that game is Teddy Allen just went off. I mean, here's a freshman who scored 22 points, looked as comfortable as can be, like this was easy, as if he were a star player that you would, you know, go to all the time and make winning shots. He dictated to the Wildcats. He wanted the ball. He would be guarded and bank a ball off the backboard like, I know it's going in. He's 8 of 12 from the field, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. That was really the defining part of that game. Why? K-State lost, and you got to credit West Virginia for getting the work done and winning 77-69. I wouldn't want to discredit West Virginia, but I thought the game was even. I thought the two teams matched up just fine. K-State handled the pressure very well. You think about press Virginia, and the Wildcats turned over the basketball 15 times. But, you know, that's not awful against this team. And I thought, hey, we got two pretty even teams, at least in Manhattan, but then Teddy Allen went off. Well, I don't expect that to happen. But then again, I cannot project the lack of offense that West Virginia's had in this run that you've talked about. They struggled, Wyatt, on the offensive end. You think about having a Javon Carter and a Dexter Miles in their lineup. You don't think that they're not going to be able to perform on the offensive end. But I thought it started with the Kansas game. They had Kansas at home on Big Monday, and KU was not playing great basketball at the time, had just barely beaten K-State in Lawrence. And here you go out to West Virginia, and the Mountaineers just controlled the game, were way ahead, and lost. But if you watch the first minute of the game on, they never played good offense. Even though they had a 16-point lead against the Jayhawks in the first half, it was all about their defense, shot blocking, and not about their offense. And all the way through the game and down the stretch, they could not get it going. And that's really been a theme. They have not been a good offensive basketball team recently. They really aren't running smooth offense. They're not finding the openings, and they're not ripping the three-point shots. Can we say that's going to happen on Saturday? If it does, then I do think it'll be right down to the wire and K-State has a chance to win. K-State has to play well. They've got to play good defense and kind of force some of that negativity. But I think we have a little bit of a variable here that I'm having a hard time getting my arms around. What will West Virginia be on offense, Wyatt? I saw Teddy Allen go off, and I go, whoa, K-State's not going to win if he does something like that. And then if you had Javon Carter, you know, go 4 of 7 from behind the arc and drive in and score 25 points, you say, well, West Virginia is good at home. They're going to win. But if you look at the average of what they've done over the last 10 games, then K-State has a real chance.
Yep.
Because I think West Virginia is struggling with confidence. I think they're struggling with a lot of things. That loss to Kansas was such a kick in the gut. They thought they were going to win the league, Wyatt. And for them to be around the middle of this conference is such a disappointment. You know, look at K-State. They're picked 8th, and they're 5-4 right now, halfway through. And they're not doing backflips, but you've got to be pretty happy with what they've done to this point. If you can continue it on, you're going to be an NCAA tournament team. You're going to exceed expectations. Right now, basically the same position in the conference, West Virginia is devastated. They can't believe that they're not a top-5 team. They really thought they're fighting for a national championship, and now they're looking at middle of the road. And Wyatt, will Bob Huggins just be able to say, I'm mad, and so the players are going to be mad that they lost to Iowa State, and then just punch K-State right in the mouth? You know that could be a fair prediction. I wouldn't be surprised if you said, yeah, that's what I expect. But you know what else, Wyatt? On Monday night, they turn around. They play Monday night at Oklahoma for Big Monday. Mm-hmm. So this also could be a game where they flew all the way to Iowa State. They were the last team in the Big 12 to play, right? I mean, of all this week's games, in the midweek games, West Virginia was the last one to play. They got whipped. They really got whipped by Iowa State. They fly home, play K-State, turn around, and fly back to play Oklahoma in a Big Monday game. You can make a case that they don't have that razor focus and that ability to push that I'm mad button and take it out on K-State. It really is an opportunity. I don't want to make too big a deal about it, like, oh, hey, I'm predicting K-State's going to go in and go to Morgantown and beat West Virginia. But Wyatt, it is a matchup that the Wildcats have a real chance to win, and not many people would have thought that 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not many people would say that K-State's going to be able to compete head-to-head with West Virginia like they have the opportunity to on this Saturday.
I think it's a very interesting take. A couple of more thoughts from Stan, but first we remind you, the official Wildcat podcast is presented by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices. They always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. By the K-State Superstore, customize your game day experience by shopping online at kstatesuperstore.com. K-State Superstore, official retailers of K-State Athletics. And by Kansas Land Tire, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. I referenced a moment ago that it's been a while, and it's amazing what can change in a month. You mentioned Teddy Allen. He played great here. He's not playing great right now. You can also say the same for Lamont West, who has always played well against Kansas State. But one guy who has taken a step forward that I think will be a real key Saturday in Morgantown, Sagaba Kanate. What are your thoughts about what this young guy is doing in his sophomore season? He's a good-looking player.
He looks like he's about 9'7" standing underneath the basket.
Yeah.
The coordination to block shots at the rim,
yeah,
I think is incredible. And it would have been such a talking point for the nation, I think, if they would have held on and won that Big Monday against Kansas. Because Kansas broke the press, and I think 3 different times went straight at the rim to throw down a dunk, And he was waiting there and blocked a shot without fouling. Not one of those, hey, I can't believe the official didn't call it. No, clean, high, with power, stopping someone throwing the ball down toward the basket. It's incredible. He has offensive moves as well. And Wyatt, you think about the road for K-State right now. K-State has 2 road games coming up. They play on Saturday, and they see Texas for the first time, the Longhorns. In both those games, one of the feature things that you have to talk about is these are 2 opponents whose big guys are really good, really big. You know, they're not just like a 6'9 guy who's talented. These are extra tall guys who have a coordination about them, who play up high in the air, 10, 11 feet up in the air when they're shooting, blocking shots, etc. And we know the K-State struggles with their inside play. Their center position is the one where it's the least talked about when you talk about the excellence of what K-State's done this year. So what do we have here? These are going to be some interesting matchups. Can K-State overcome the deficit they have with those 2 big giants next on the schedule and on the road? If K-State can come out with a win in one of their next 2 games, wow, that will be impressive.
Absolutely.
For the Wildcats.
Yeah.
But the inside play is something, as we break this game down, Wyatt, on the Learfield stations, as we talk in pregame on Saturday, it's going to be a big factor through pregame and into the ballgame. What about that big guy in the middle? I've been so impressed with Kanate. He is such a difference maker that you're really surprised that West Virginia is in a slump. When I tell you that he's upped his game, like you mentioned, Wyatt, he's upped his game and you have Javon Carter and Daxter Miles, how could West Virginia be struggling?
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's a good point. The other part is we go from big to smaller here. We don't know exactly when Kamau Stokes will be back, but it's not too far away. It's possible, and let me emphasize that again, possible that he could go some on Saturday in Morgantown, but maybe more realistic next Wednesday in Austin. What about the dynamics of this Kansas State team? Some are concerned about when he comes back, what does that do to Cartier Jada? What does it do to the team chemistry and all of that? You're around these guys like I am. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's an interesting question, and it is one worth addressing. For the fans, it's okay to have concern and go, whoa, I really like what K-State has done with their games since Texas Tech. Now, you might say, well, Kamau Stokes going out has nothing to do with that. I mean, the fact that Barry Brown's playing awesome and Dean Wade's unstoppable, is that because Kamau Stokes went out? I don't know about that. But Cartier Jada has obviously stepped up his game, Wyatt. There's no doubt about it. And I'm one who believes that he had it in him, but when you don't have the full responsibility, you don't necessarily realize that you have to do it right now. And as soon as he did, he stepped in. But there's a developmental stage that happens. When you first get in there, Wyatt, you just want to survive. You're not sure what you're getting into as a new young starter and being relied upon if you're a quarterback, point guard, whatever. And in a sense, things go really well. I mean, I was Big Eight. That's true. I was Big Eight Player of the Week my first start. You know, does that mean I'm going to play at the first team all Big 12 level the rest of my career? No, you know, you come back down to earth. So at some point, the adrenaline's flowing. You just try to survive, and you're not nervous because you know you're not being counted on that much, and it doesn't seem that hard. And then all of a sudden, they start figuring you out, and they make you do things that you're not as good at. And then you realize, oh, I missed two shots in a row, and these are critical, and everyone expects me to rip every shot out there. So I think there's a little bit of a roller coaster ride to the psychology of a guy like Cartier Jada. You know, Kansas created some adversity. For the first time, he had to deal with adversity, and K-State put in McGurl. You know, Coach Weber sat him down for a little while and said, right now you're not locked in doing the things that we need to get done, so let's have you rest. So I think that there's so many mixtures here. A lot of it's going to – I think Bruce Weber needs to be focused on this. I think the psychology of a basketball team is so important. And I'll point this out to you. We just broke down West Virginia. It makes no sense with the components that that basketball team has and with the coach they have, Wyatt, and the senior leadership and everything else, they should not be struggling. But they are. And when you struggle, it's hard to get traction. Now, when you look at K-State, things have been going well. When you change the mixture, you've got to respect – let's be very careful. I think it's going to be some tough decisions by Bruce Weber, and it's going to be up to the players. I think Kamau Stokes is the most important factor in this whole thing. How does he re-enter into the K-State group? The thing I like about Kamau Stokes that makes me feel pretty good is he's not as if he's been sitting up in a room up in, you know, the top at Bramley's of a suite or something, watching down and watching K-State play their last six, seven, eight games. Okay, he's been right in the middle of it. He's been a part of the team, a part of the joy. We're getting ready for the Super Bowl, Wyatt. What is one of the greatest things we've talked about and seen? Carson Wentz, a superstar quarterback who got injured and is now not getting the run to the Super Bowl, Nick Foles is. But how Carson Wentz has handled himself, helping on the sideline, breaking down plays with him like he's the backup quarterback, not the star. He's missing out, and yet he's engaged, he's encouraging, he's a part of the group. That takes a lot of intestinal fortitude. I tell you what, that is classy.
I'm with you.
Well, Kamau Stokes is really somewhat emulating that. Okay, we didn't know Kamau Stokes was even going to be back this year. Who knew? But he stayed engaged. He's a part of the team, and he didn't get his feelings hurt that people said, look how good K-State is. We didn't know they were this good. You know, he didn't get into that. He's still a part of the team, and I think that's important. But his re-entry into the team will be very important. I think he's handled things very well so far, but how's he going to handle things now? Because there's a lot of issues. One is a doctor saying, hey, I think it's okay for him to play, but you probably ought to just not push it too far. I mean, why stress it, you know, with fatigue? playing 15 minutes this game. Well, is Kamau going to be okay playing only 15 minutes as he works his way back, or is he going to think, no, I'm here for 40? How's he going to feel about the rotation? How's he going to play his role? I feel like the best success, Wyatt, is if Kamau Stokes comes back with a humble attitude of saying, I've been with you guys all the time, I'm a part of this team, but I'm going to adjust some of the things I do to keep the momentum going. I'm going to change my role slightly to plug myself into exactly what's been working. And whatever that is, be a part of that and then add your touch to it. Because right now, K-State struggled against the zone, for instance. Well, Kamau Stokes may be the guy who can go knock 3 out of 5 3-pointers down and make the difference in a game. You know, find spots where you can do something to add to the team, but don't just say it's like it was 2 months ago. I'm back. I'm going to play 36 minutes. We're going to run the offense this way. He really needs to say, Cartier, I want you to be a part of this. I want you and Barry and myself to just be a three-person punch for those two positions that wears out the opponent and takes advantage of everything we can. So concern from a fan's perspective, absolutely. I think it's going to be a coaching issue of how do you integrate and take, you know, what should be just a super addition. And then, right now, K-State has got, what, how many points from the bench, Wyatt? I know you know this answer in the Georgia game.
How many points from the bench?
Yeah.
Zero.
Zero. So wouldn't it be great to have Cartier or Kamau, whoever's coming off the bench, providing? You know, K-State needs help right now. They need scoring. They need help from the bench. So I think we can only look at it as a positive of Kamau coming back. And I think his involvement, kind of Carson Wentz-like, gives a lot of hope that he's just going to come in and make the team better. And right now, the rest of the conference, looking around, goes, K-State's a hard out right now. And they're going to add Kamau Stokes back? He really is coming back?
Sure.
Whoa. So I think it's good news for K-State. And I'm glad he's been engaged, Wyatt. I'm glad he's been a part of the team, not sitting over riding a bike all the time, watching the rest of the group. He's been right in the middle of them. And I think that'll help the reentry.
I'm with you there. I think that's good analysis, and he's been a team guy all along, and it'll be good to have him back, no doubt about that. Again, our coverage Saturday begins at 2 o'clock on the K-State Sports Network from Learfield, and then next Wednesday an 8 o'clock game in Austin, Texas against the Longhorns. Our program brought to you, as always, by BriggsAuto.com, by the K-State Superstore, and by Kansas Land Tire. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks so much for listening, and go Cats!
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.